Father, this night we give you thanks for loving us the way that you do so much. We are here, and you have come to do kingdom business. You abide and you reside from within. So you're the one who brought us here. You're the one who invited us. And you're the same one that is now going to speak by the power of your Spirit with your word, and we will hear your voice. Oh, you may employ the means of man to accomplish that, but we're aware you have something to say, and your church is willing and ready to listen. Bless our time. Equip your people that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Radical, rebellious, dangerous, demonic, controversial, crazy. He was, he is. So why don't we have him over for dinner? Have him over for dinner? Absolutely. It's just what they did, not once, but again and again and again. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus, even though the opinion of his opposition, he's mad. The feelings of his foes, he's rad. As friends, they were glad to always have him at their house for dinner. And that's what makes that relationship, in my opinion, all the more remarkable. Keep in mind, at that point in time, if you were a friend of Jesus, you were also on the religious leaders' hit list. They were not happy to see Jesus have friends with you, with whom, with anyone. So there was a risk involved in that relationship. That's why this story somewhat surprises me. You see, Jesus loves the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And yet this story, it starts with sickness. Take note with me, John's Gospel, 11th chapter, the first verse we read, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, the one who you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'Well, this sickness is not into death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Hey, let's go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' These things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about the rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.'" Your attention, please. What happened? If you're taking note, number one, a much-loved disciple is sick. That's what happened. Now, one must wonder, a much-loved disciple sick? Maybe he needs a 4-tape series about how to speak a word of faith that he might enjoy prosperity, health, and wealth. No, it's a much-loved disciple. Not only does he love Christ, but Christ loves him. I note that because here in Scripture we see not only the word agape employed to describe Christ's love for him, but also the word, well, it's phileo. It appears, interestingly enough, in the third verse of the 11th chapter. Will you note that? The sisters send word to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, the one that you phileo? The one that you really like. And I find that noteworthy. You see, all of us would agree that Jesus loves us. And we all know he died for our sins. But the question I have from time to time, does Jesus like me? Here, we discover he does have a like love. And he really likes Lazarus a lot. Again, the Greek word is phileo. I really like you. I like to hang with you. I like to spend time with you. I like to talk with you. I like to go to the mall with you. Jesus and Lazarus? Yes, he not only likes him, but this time it happens to be in the fifth verse. And that's where you'll find that Greek word agape. He also loves them. He loves Martha. He loves Martha. He loves Lazarus. This time, Mary's name is not mentioned. Why? Well, everyone knows he loves Mary. Of course, Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, she's the one who would sit at Jesus' feet and spend that time listening to everything he'd say, hanging on to his every word, making sure that whatever he said, someone paying attention to it, while Martha was the one busy in the kitchen, making sure that everything was ready for supper. Oh, don't you remember the story? Martha's so frantic, her pace. Jesus, won't you say something to my sister? I'm trying to prepare dinner for you and our guest, and I don't understand why she just sits there. Martha, you're busy about so many things, but I'm not going to take away the one thing from Mary. Know what she is doing? And you'd think for that reason, Jesus really loved Mary. And Martha, well, she's just too busy to really spend time with God. So the Holy Spirit inspires John to write it this way. Jesus loved Martha and who's her sister? Yeah, her sister and Lazarus. To make sure that we know he has a deep love for those who are busy about his business, like the Marthas that are here tonight. He also has a love for the Marys, of course, those who will sit still at his feet. But he also has a love for the big brothers named Lazarus. You see, he loves and he likes. If he loves and he likes, why is this one sick? Again, did he not know that he could speak the word of faith and bring about instantaneously healing? I mean, did he not have a relationship with Christ where he would warrant this protective power? I mean, what's the problem here? You know that if we're not careful, we'll assume erroneously that he must not... Well, does he really love them? Does he really like them? That question, that probably is being asked now of Martha and Mary, because what we have before us is a case wherein which Jesus provides to the messenger a word of hope. Did you see it? This sickness is not unto death. This sickness is not unto death. The messenger hears that word. All right, we knew we could count on you. We're on our way back to tell Martha and Mary the sickness does not lead into death. Now, keep in mind the distance between where Jesus was resting and where Lazarus is dying is about 20 miles. So scholars suggest we had the messenger leave Mary and Martha, travel one day to get to Jesus. Jesus gives him a word of hope. He travels another day to return, and then it's two more days until Jesus actually comes to Martha and Mary's house. So it's been 4 days. But Jesus just informed his disciples, Lazarus is dead. So what happened? If you're taking note, not only one, do we have a much loved disciple that's sick. Two, we got a word from Jesus that apparently failed. He gave the word, this sickness will not lead unto death. The messenger returns home, and because Lazarus, according to verse 17, has been dead for 4 days, upon the messenger's arrival, he says to Mary and Martha, don't worry, just talk to the Lord. He says this one's not going to lead to death. And they turn and say, he just died. That's not funny. That's not funny, he just died. It's been 4 days. And one might, again, assume erroneously at this point, Jesus doesn't work and Jesus doesn't care.
Why?
Well, because, quite honestly, you mean to tell me you went and you saw Jesus, you talked to him yourself, and he said to you, this sickness does not lead in death, but God's going to be glorified, and then this friend of Jesus, the one he likes and he loves, he actually kicks the bucket? Come on, what is this? So we have Martha. Oh, man. You have Mary. Oh, no. And you have Lazarus. What is that all about? Well, that is all about, from time to time in our own lives, somebody gives us a word from the Lord and, well, it's not working the way you said it would work. I'm not sure about this whole faith thing. I'm not sure about this whole belief thing because, you see, you gave me a word from God. He, Jesus, spoke it. But now, well, apparently his word has failed. And apparently he doesn't care because I would tend to think that if he knew his best friend was sick, I mean, did he start to get ready to come? Did he leave with you? Was he right behind you? Are we going to expect to see him any minute here, messenger? Messenger's been back now for a few days and Jesus still hasn't come? It's strange to me. A much-loved disciple is sick. A word from the Lord apparently has failed. And number three, if you're taking note, the disciples. Well, they're unprepared. They're unprepared for spiritual things because you'll note with me, their minds are still thinking physical things when Jesus is trying to teach them something that's heavenly in substance. Jesus says to them, guys, listen carefully. Listen. I'm going to go back to Judea. And what is their reaction? In what is now, in a 3-year ministry, the end of that 3 years. And in other words, Jesus has been with his disciples now, for the most part, their entire training time. He's getting an end of the training time. It's about time where they're going to graduate and go out on their own. He says, okay, guys, listen, I'm on my way to Judea. And how do his disciples respond? They respond with questions. Lord, you sure you want to go to Judea? Wait a minute. You're questioning Jesus as to where he's about to go? Guys, haven't you been with him the last 6 miracles in the Gospel of John? Hello? And if it's not enough that you're going to actually question his direction, what else do you choose to do? Oh, don't worry, Jesus. If he's asleep, he'll get better. Did you check that out? One of the disciples actually has the audacity to turn to Christ and tell him not to worry, everything's going to get better, because I don't know if you know this, Jesus, just through the natural process of sleep, people get better. I just want to let you know that, Lord. If you just rest, he'll be fine. So as your disciple, one, I'm going to question your direction, and two, I'm going to let you know how things really work in this world. I'm not sure if you know how things work in this world, Lord. And I'm looking on and thinking, oh, he must be saying in his own heart, Father, am I really leaving here in the next few months? In the next few chapters? I have a problem on my hands. Why? Well, because I'm trying to teach them something and I'm not sure if they're going to completely get it. Because here we have, well, quite possibly here we have where you have been. You're a loved disciple and you know that. And somebody right here tonight at this service could be suffering with something and you're thinking, I didn't think that my life was going to include this kind of physical affliction. Somebody could have possibly even given you a word from the Lord, you shall be healed, and it hasn't come to pass. And the disciples you've gone to lately, well, maybe it's even been one of our prayer partners here at Calvary Chapel, and it seems like they don't get it. What is going on, you say? A much-loved disciple is sick. I got a word from the Lord, it's failed. I go to somebody who's a disciple and they're thinking physically rather than spiritually. Do you want to really know what's happening?
Listen to this.
He is choosing a best friend's life named Lazarus to be a tool of truth, to be an instrument of instruction. Now listen to that again. He is choosing a best friend's life to be an instrument of instruction. He's choosing to use that person to be a tool of truth. That's what he wants to do in all of our lives. He wants to do that in my life. He wants to do that in your life. He says, are we really close? Are we really, really friends? Do you know that I love you? Do you know that I like you? Well, could I choose to use you to do something that will speak powerful volumes to everyone else? Bob, am I really yours and are you really mine? Could we team together to do this?
You see, if you're not aware yet, this evening, I'll remind you, life happens.
Life happens. And when you realize that life just seems to happen, so much of what goes down, you don't plan for, you're not prepared for, life just happens. Suddenly, well, let me ask you a question. You might have asked yourself the same. Do you like puzzles? Puzzles. Yeah, to me, life sometimes seems like a big puzzle. In fact, when I first became a brand new believer, it's as if God reached from the heavenlies, bent down in my direction, and handed me a puzzle? Well, if you're listening on cassette tape, this is a four-piece puzzle. It's the kind that kids enjoy. This is an easy kind of puzzle. And that was one of the first puzzles he did hand me. It was very, very elementary. It went something like this. I don't know where all these pieces fit, but when I come to you, Lord, you're able to show me. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, and now I'm found. Hey, guess what? With a couple of simple expressions of his love, I put my whole puzzle piece together. It wasn't that tough, was it? No, coming to Christ, your life needed some arranging. And your puzzle looked very undone. And you tried to, with your life, put it together on your own. But without divine help, even a simple thing like your life and its purpose was complicated and difficult to understand. So what did you do with your life in its crazy and confused condition? Well, without divine help, you tried to put the pieces in place. And sometimes you'd go to friends and say, can you help me put this in place? And they too, with their own puzzles, very, very disarray, very, very disorganized, they were trying to put their own puzzle pieces into place. And so what did you try and do? Some of you tried to drink your puzzle pieces. Some of you tried to smoke your puzzle pieces. But you still couldn't get your puzzle pieces together. Finally, one day you were wise enough to say, God, this thing called my life, I don't have it together. And I can't figure it out. And it's probably simpler for you. And the moment you offered your puzzle to God, the moment he gave you divine help. And suddenly you found, wow, it's almost like they just fit into place and suddenly everything was right where it was supposed to be and you found yourself saying, yes, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I have, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. And the Lord said, really? And you said, yes. He said, okay, graduation, time for a note puzzle. What? Well, this one's got more pieces. That one had four, but as I'm growing in Christ, this one here has 24 pieces. Well, don't worry. It does have 24 pieces, but check it out. The pieces are very large. And yes, you were given by the grace of God a next step in your Christian growth, and there you were with something you could lay out on the floor and set it in your bedroom and make sure that every puzzle piece fit into place, and it was really great as you put it together because it was really, really colorful, and you could see on the outside of the box what it was going to look like. And it was really kind of cool because this is when you thought the Lord was cool because he's so hip. You only got 24 pieces. This is really neat. And this is that stage of your Christian growth where you're in the honeymoon and you're on the surfboard and you're just cruising with Jesus and everything's great and you love the Lord, man. You got a brand new Bible, got a concordance, got a computer program, and you know Jesus. You're telling everybody about Jesus and everything's great. And you finally get this piece done, this puzzle done. You get this puzzle done. You go, Lord, this is incredible. And now, Lord, I am a real disciple, huh? Yeah. I am the guy that puts the world together. Remember the song, Lord? I'm yours. Everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see. What's that? Try you with what? 550 pieces? Wait a minute. This is the next stage? And what? Lord, these pieces, they're all so tiny. You want me to put this whole thing together like this? Lord, I'm not sure if I can put this together. I mean, this seems like, this is Foundations Faith Class 105. This is not 101. I mean, this looks like real serious stuff. I mean, this looks like I might have to say goodbye to my girlfriend here. So what? She's got three other friends, and she's not that interested. I'm hanging on, waiting for her to get saved. You want me to put that down, huh? And this piece here, that job? Well, okay, it's not that ethical to still sell that stuff, but I was thinking I could still tithe off the income. Okay, and then this piece here. All right, okay, all right, wait a second. You know, I think that, and the problem with this puzzle? It's an amazing thing, but sometimes we feel that he has decided to hide the front page or the cover of the puzzle from us completely. And that he simply walks into our life and says, hey, here's your life. Put it together. Lord, I don't know if I can take this. Look at, you did the small one. I worked with you on that. You did the next one. I worked with you on that. Come on, you wanted to grow in Christ. Time for the big puzzle.
But I have no idea what it's going to look like at all. I can't see this. Only you can. I'm not sure if I'm ready for it.
And then you hear the playback. I'm yours, Lord, everything in me. Didn't you sing that recently? I mean, wasn't that like, you know, try me now and see if I can be. Yeah, I just didn't think that, I just didn't think it's going to be this much, does that work? Is there a piece tonight that you think is missing in your own puzzle box? Is there a piece you came here seeking to find? Yeah, there's a wife puzzle piece down here somewhere. I still haven't found it. No, not that wife. That's it. I'm looking for this one down here. There's got to be one more colorful. That's the one. What's that?
You want this one for me to kind of reconcile?
We'll put that aside for right now. We'll see what other ones I can match quickly. And what happens? Well, here's what happens. Let's be honest. If God's going to work together with us on this stuff, that's not too bad. But what's happened right now in Mary and Martha's life, there's a puzzle piece that they never, ever expected that they would find in their box. It's a dead brother. I didn't know when I got my puzzle box what would be in it. I didn't know that there was a puzzle piece that said, Senior Pastor at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. I didn't know there's going to be a puzzle piece that said, Diane Sander. I didn't know there's going to be a puzzle piece called Christian Coy and Caitlin Coy. No, I didn't know those pieces. And one of the pieces that I didn't really expect at all was the piece of a little baby boy that only grew in my wife's womb. And then God decided to take home. And I remember looking at that piece. And I'm sure feeling very much the way that Martha and Mary may be feeling right now. I'm a much loved disciple of yours. And I'm sick over this. You gave me your word. You failed. And I'm very confused right now as one of your disciples because had I known that this piece was going to be in this box, I don't know if I even want to take this box because I don't get it. Why is my life on display for all these people? I mean, I could just as soon be a businessman someplace and do this whole thing called life a little more privately, okay? I don't know if I want your box anymore, okay? There's a handful of things that happened and have happened in my life that... Were you thinking when you put these in my box? And what happens over time? You find out that some of these pieces that you thought would never ever find a place suddenly find a fit like you can't believe. You find out that the loss of a loved one was actually divinely designed by God to give you a sense of relatability, sympathy, empathy, compassion, and understanding. Because in this role and responsibility you have to be in touch, man. Wow. I was ready to throw this piece away, and I suddenly discovered this was one of the more valuable pieces. Then you find out that this piece here and this piece here and this piece here, they were all female friends that you got pretty serious with that you really thought were going to be possibly the one you'd wed. And each one of them was just a broken relationship. At the time, you just felt embarrassed and you felt even stupid because you're a Christian, you're a new Christian, but you're trying to do everything right. And actually, to come to the place where you do these things with people, I mean, oh, Lord, you got to fix this. But what you came to discover after the fact is every one of these sisters, because you did live righteously, they were lessons how to treat women. And you walked and you learned and you grew. Huh, these are pretty good lessons. I'll keep that. That is a treasure now. I'll see my son again. And this one here. Oh, man. This one here. I never knew he had that one in store for me. I had no idea what Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale was going to look like. I'm honored that you put that piece in my box. You're an amazing God. I like my box. And I've come to discover, wait a minute, I'm starting to see just what this picture is. You mean the more that I work with it, the more that I work with you, the more you bring to light what the big picture is. Oh, Lord, could you just give me a glimpse of the future? Could I just see the reality of? And then I look and discover the box. This is a puzzle called Oh Happy Day. Oh Happy Day. What's that? Oh Happy Day. You mean to tell me God's actually got a good plan for me? He's got plans to bless me. He's got plans to strengthen me. He's got plans to make me. Wow, I had no idea that. Don't you? Do you understand where we're at in the story? Oh, no, you don't. See, there are three reactions, three responses to what happens in life. You may find yourself in a category. Back to John chapter 11, pick it up with me. We see in verse 15, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. Then Thomas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Die with him? So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And please, I'm going to accentuate that sentence. We'll hear it again. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, well, I know he'll rise in the last day, you know, the resurrection. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now watch verse 27. It's appropriate. I'll add voice intonation. Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who's to come into the world. Why that voice tone? Here's why. She'd still want her brother back. Do you not believe that I am the resurrection life? Well, of course I believe that you're the resurrection life, but that's not the issue. I lost my brother. I want him back. Don't you believe? All right. I believe. And it's as if, in my opinion, that final phrase is somewhat rehearsed. Yeah, I know you're the Son of God, and I know this is all going to work out. Okay, I'm fine with that. Martha? How about Mary? How about Mary? Verse 28. When she said these things, she went away secretly, called Mary, her sister, saying, teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but it was the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary rose up quickly, went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Your attention, please. Three reactions, three responses. You are either Thomas, you are Martha, or you are Mary. Thomas? Ready to die. Martha, wondering why. Mary, just gonna cry. Think it through. Think it through. Thomas, ready to die. He's what I'll call a loyal fatalist. Jesus, they're throwing stones at you before we left Judea. We're gonna go back in. We're all gonna get stoned together. We're all gonna die, right? I'm ready, Lord. Do you know people like that? I know people like that. They're always waiting for the worst thing and happen in life that can possibly happen. You know what I mean. The guy that flew the day after September 11th. I'll hop on a plane, and if we're all going down, I'll go down together with all the other folks that go down, man. Or the guy that just recently bought a gas mask for fear in some way we're going to have an anthrax attack. Or the guy for Y2K that made sure he had plenty of supplies in his basement. You know, he's always thinking of the worst situation rather than the best situation. This man, and please take note, Thomas, he lacks hope. 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 That optimistic sense of, I wonder, will God, could God? That's lacking in Thomas' life. What's lacking in Martha's life? She's wondering why. Wondering why, wondering if. Now, if Jesus would have been here earlier, this would not have happened. Now, if he wouldn't have gotten the disease when he got the disease, well, now, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if, and why? And in this room tonight, there's a handful of you. You face tragedy and difficulty. You've gone back to that event, and you've stayed there. Right there. And you still continue to consider, what if? Now, I have a few of those in my mind. I remember working for Capitol Records, and one night we had this big beer bash party thing. It was a rock and roll, you know, crazy night. And I wanted to dance, and I had a whole pile of keys that I wore on a thing on the side of my pants. Now, it was a time where I just carried a pile of keys. And one of the keys happened to be to the Capitol Records main office. And I was going to dance, so I picked my keys up and I set them down in the corner near a dance floor and I started dancing. When I came back, I couldn't find my keys. I'd been drinking too much. And they had to re-key the entire Capitol Records building because of my foolishness that night, because I'd been drinking too much. Do you know that that one night still continues to haunt me? Because I know personally that that was the beginning of me doing a lot of stupid things that led to my loss of employment. Do you have something like that in your past where you think, oh man, I wish I could just replay that one event. And you keep on going back to that one event and continue to try and replay it. And what happens is this, and I'll employ this phrase, please take note of it. You will analyze, and here's what I'll say, there's an analysis that leads to paralysis. And you analyze it to the point where you stay there and you're not willing to move forward. Why? Inasmuch as Thomas is lacking hope, Martha is lacking trust. She doesn't trust that the Lord can take this situation and still turn it around. There's no trust. Now again, it may be that somebody's here tonight and it was a bad relationship, but that relationship's over. But you haven't started a new relationship because you keep on going back to the what if in the old relationship. It may be that it's a business, and the business went sour and bad, and you keep on going back to the, what if that old business could still come back to life rather than just moving forward? Now, there are times to wait on the Lord. There are other times to move forward, and Martha's not moving forward. She's going to continue to consider what if. Why? Because she's a very practical gal, and because she's busy about the kitchen, she'll still be now busy about funeral preparations, and she's just thinking, what if Jesus would have been here? And then there's Mary. I know more Marys than I know Marthas in the body of Christ. They're so sensitive and so spiritual, and they love, again, just to sit at Jesus' feet. But when something goes the way that they hadn't planned, it would go. I thought, and you promised, and you gave me a word, and I can't believe that. Emotions take over. And rather than moving out of emotions into the reality that God still has something for you to do. The lack? Well, for Mary, it's faith. For Martha, it's trust. And for Thomas, it's hope. And the greatest problem with these conditions, my friend, is that they are contagious conditions. Oh, please, draw your attention this time to verse 32 alone. We read, then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You ever hear that sentence before? Yes, Mary's sentence is the same sentence I had you repeat in understanding in verse 21 that Martha shared. So Martha has been so busy telling Mary the same thing that Mary now believes the same thing that Martha believed, that if the Lord would have been there, her brother wouldn't have died. Did you notice? I don't have in Scripture any place where Jesus actually called Mary. Martha says that Jesus called for Mary. Now, I'm not going to say that Martha's lying, but what I am going to say is they rehearsed this thing over and over and over again, that if Jesus would have been there, your brother would have not died. So now she runs to meet Jesus. He's not even on their property. She runs out to him. Jesus, since I'm the busybody, my sister's back home still crying, but I want to let you know, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Well, do you believe in the resurrection? Yeah, I do. Oh, you're going to tell me that. Oh, I get a Bible study. Ah, she runs back. She finds her sister. The Bible says in secret. She says to her sister, teacher's here and he's asking for you. Remember what we said. Go tell him the same thing. Come on. Okay, come back out. Lord, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Probably already heard Martha say that in verse 21, but I'm going to tell you again, verse 32, okay? What does that mean? That means that in the body of Christ, those of you who have fatalist mindsets, just going to die, you'll find around you, there'll be others with a fatalist mindset. You're contagious. And those of you that always wonder why, we'll get together with all those who wonder why, and you'll build meetings all around the wondering why God works the way that he wonders and works, and you'll always be questioning God rather than resting in God. And those of you that find yourselves looking back at the past and continue to cry over it, God says, do you want to move forward? Oh, Lord, oh, I don't know if you know why I'm being on. I don't know if you know. Am I on the I'd even like that one, if I have to be honest with you. What is that all about? It's all about you missing why he chose you. He wanted to build such a friendship relationship with you that he could choose you to be a tool of truth and an instrument of instruction. And yet that instruction is going to be tested. It ought to be, I've got a 550-piece puzzle for you, Bob. I'd love to give you the 1,000-piece puzzle. The minute you get this done, you're going to be ready for something bigger, right? Oh, I don't know if you know this, but when you called me, I have no desire for puzzles at all. No, anything that requires work or effort or time or thought or patience or involvement, no, Lord. Tell you what, I'll give you the puzzle, you put it together. If you want to glue it on some piece of masonite, hang it in my bedroom, that's fine. But I've got too many things to do. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, come on, you know me. And here's the tragedy. Your box sits this evening unopened. And while you are bored with life and still looking for meaning as a believer, there is a life waiting to be discovered that has on the outside of the box, oh, happy day. But you're going to keep it closed. Why?
Well, something went wrong with one of these big pieces. And and then I went back to the old one and found out somebody took one. And I don't even know if I'm saved, man. Oh! You sure I can't smoke this one?
Give me the lighter. Just give me the lighter. I don't even want a lighter in your hand, understand? Somebody needed to hear that. What are we missing? We're missing what we may have missed because we read by it quickly. That's what happens. What happens is that we're busy doing life. And while we're busy doing life, the Lord has a word for us that will clarify our confusion, provide understanding when we're really undone. Go back with me. Think it through. Verse 8, chapter 11, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again. Jesus answered. Here's the answer. Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light's not in him. Well, what do you mean, Bob? I don't understand. My Father, remember the Bible? I am the light of the world. Okay, now, if I'm light of the world and I'm walking during the day, then everything that's happening in my life is a matter of a divine timetable. If I'm a part of a divine timetable, it's only until my hour of darkness comes that I have to be concerned or afraid of anything. Right now, all I have to do is be filled with faith and moving forward. Right now, I don't have any fears, I don't have any concerns. I shouldn't be worried about a thing, right? Yeah. You mean to tell me, preacher, right now? If I am walking in the day and walking in the light, there is such purpose for my life. I am basically indestructible. I mean, God has such a plan for my life right now that I ought to just put it on autopilot, kick back for the ride, and allow Him to lead and guide. Is that what you're saying? Exactly. This is a puzzle He already knows the picture of. And if Jeremiah 11:29 is true, this picture for my life is one where He plans to prosper and bless. It's not harm, it's good. If Romans is true in writing that His will for my life is good, acceptable, and pleasing, why am I afraid of opening this box? It makes no sense if His will for my life is good, acceptable, and pleasing that I don't want to open up this box and start laying out all these pieces and start throwing them on the floor and start just discovering every one of them one at a time. I want to know this piece. I want to understand this piece. If it helps me put my life together, God, I want to know Your will for my life. I want to discover it. I want to find it. I want to enjoy it. I want to adventure it. You see?
Oh, hang on. I'm going to check and see if there's anything else on this channel for a second, okay? Oh, nothing there. Hang on. I'll be right back. Okay.
Do you ever notice that there is nothing on television? There really is nothing. And when you think there's something, there's not. Every once in a while, on a rare occasion, I'll say, hey, now that helped me. But most of the time, I find it's a waste of time. So, what is He trying to say to His disciples? We find ready to die, wondering why, and just going to cry. But we know the reason. Come here. Verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her weeping, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And He said, where have you laid Him? And they said to Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how He loved them. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Your attention, please. Come on back. Shortest single sentence, shortest individual verse in the whole Word of God. 11:35. Jesus wept. That one word, weep, wept, it's not found anywhere else in the entire Greek original. It's an exclusive word, wept, that we really clearly don't understand as a word. Why? Well, because they couldn't and they didn't and we don't really understand what was happening in Jesus as He stood in the world between His humanity and His deity. In His humanity, He's not using any of His divine power to do something that the natural man can accomplish. So He actually asked the question, where have you laid Him? Where have you laid Him, Lord? You know everything and you need to ask where we put Him? Yeah, I'm going to be my complete human self. In my same human self, I'm going to begin to cry human tears because in my humanity, I weep over the loss of anyone. I hate and I don't like the way this whole thing has to go down. The fact that you have to say goodbye to your fleshly, earthly body, clothe yourself with a heavenly body, and find yourself departing on into the other world. I'd rather you could strap on wings and fly up and wave to your loved ones and kiss them goodbye, and everyone would know that you made it. Wouldn't that be great? I've always thought it'd be great. I mean, just think about it. If just before you go, everyone can see where you're going, and those people are going down, suddenly their face starts to boil and turn and churn. You go, I don't want to go there. And other people,
hey, God bless you.
Instead, nothing. Somebody does go, what? Where? When? How? Oh. It feels so, it just feels like it's so final and so, God, is this really what you, Jesus, in his humanity, sees this whole thing go down. He loves Lazarus. I hate this whole thing. But in his deity, he looks on and says, oh. And the groan in his spirit, in my opinion, is his own heavenly, holy cry saying, something's got to be done about death, and I'm the one who's going to do it. From this point forward, when they see what I'm capable and able of doing, there will be no doubt in anyone's mind that this is more than doctrine. It is a power to deliver that I alone enjoy. Roar! Is the groan. It's not anguish and anger as much as it's frustration and sorrow and grief. For in that, they look on and say, wow. Lazarus, man. Look at the guy's weeping. He really, really loved him. And then one asked the question, and it's a bold question. Cannot the one that opened the blind eye also have kept him from dying? Kept him. Past tense. There's not a person on the planet right now expects a miracle. Nobody right now is going, oh man, this is going to be great. Stand back, watch the Lord. Oh man, I've read the entire chapter. This is so cool. Wait till you see this happen. Now I'm there. I know chapter 11. You're there. Most of you know it. But there's not a person on the planet right now go, this is Jesus' hour. Nobody's doing that. I was looking and going, this is so embarrassing for him, isn't it? I mean, he evidently doesn't have the power we all thought he did. He stuck around for 2 days after we thought he was dead. He decided to come after the fact. Couldn't he have showed up a couple of days ago and at least tried something, you know? A few incantations, you know, something. He shows up 2 days late. They're really upset. We're all upset. And now he says, oh, let's go to the tomb. He loved them. That's nice. I like to see the cry. That's good. That's good. He loved them. And then Jesus blows everyone away. Look what I love my Savior. So cool. Verse 38. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, it's by this time, there's a stench. It's been, he's been dead 4 days. Now, I love those of you who have an old King James Version Bible that says it this way. By now, he stinketh. Lord, by now he stinketh. Jesus, don't do this. Come on. What in the world are you? There is no faith. And the reason I have to accentuate that fact is that there's no faith in anyone but the Lord. You know he's going to pull this off. Love him. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because these people are standing here, I said this, that they might believe that you sent me. And now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did and believed in him. I guess so. Your attention, please. I guess so. A dead man, 4 days, out of a tomb, walking around.
Whoa!
Whoa! Loose him! Take off the gravel! They start unwrapping the guy. As he's being unwrapped, he's moving his arms. They're looking on. Oh, this is amazing. He's looking on. Mary! Martha! Jesus! Wow! You know, there's a tendency for my hair to rise at moments like that from the pulpit. Why? I love my miraculous master. He didn't just do this for Mary and Martha. He did this for you. Do you understand that he knew on this Wednesday night at Calvary Fort Lauderdale we'd be reading the story? And do you know that he didn't want to just give you a book filled with doctrine and say, hey, trust me on this? No, what he determined to do is pull it off for you in real time and simply say, hey, I've been telling you for most of this book, we're in the 11th chapter right now, that I'm the answer. I'm going to show you. And even though it's going to start my timetable and it'll only be a few more chapters till I say goodbye, I really want you to see that I am the first fruits of the living of the dead and that I have the power to conquer hell and death. So let me pull this off right now. Boom. Wow. Look what's going on. And I look and I go, oh, Lord, you knew this. You knew that every memorial service I do, I would mention this reference. He who believes in me does not die. Thank you, Lord, for a verse, but thank you for a picture. It gives me such incredible hope. So that I can share with anyone tonight that's got a puzzle piece that they're really bothered by. Man, I just want to chuck this piece. I don't like this piece. This is meant for me. What? Are you the one who feels like you're dying? Let's put you in Lazarus's shoes. His sandals. You're the one who feels like you're... Let him bring you out of the cave. Maybe you're the Mary, the Martha saying, you have no idea what just died in our life. And it may not be specifically a loved one, but it could be something you loved a lot. Can you trust in him? Can you hope in him? Can you find faith in him? You see, Thomas, Mary, and Martha were all being tested. He did like and love him very, very much. And no better family to be the object of his test. We really like each other a whole bunch. You guys really love me. I'm sure the last time they had dinner together, maybe there was some conversation that went on saying, hey guys, you always trust me no matter what. I mean, we're really close. Okay, hey, I'll be gone for a little while. I'll see you soon. See you soon. Okay, just want to say see you soon. Bye, guys. If sometime you need me, call me. Let me know that you have a need, but just trust me. I mean, this is all hypothetical. It's all speculation. But I have found in my life, before I'm truly tested, I am taught. He tells me. The book of Amos says, he doesn't withhold anything from his servants who love him. It's like he tells you stuff. He'll prepare you if you're listening. If your ears are open, if you're knees are on the ground and you're open-hearted to him, he's going to tell you stuff and he's going to prepare you for tomorrow. The strange thing I found in my life is that too often the only thing that I'm unprepared for is the thing I didn't prepare for. But if I am willing to be prepared, I will be ready for anything he brings to me. Why? It's a team thing. We've been working on this puzzle of Bob Coy for a long time now. I've got half the puzzle made. In fact, I've got more made than not made based upon how old I am. If you know what I mean. Past the halfway mark. And because I'm past the halfway mark, I'm able to now look back at the puzzle that we already put together and say, I like the way it's coming out. It's turning out pretty good, God. I'm really blessed. Because again, there's a few of the pieces that I had no idea were even in my box. Jesus pulls off a miracle. And it's one of those miracles that will go down in history. So much so, we'll find in a future chapter. Lazarus is hanging out and people are just coming over the house in droves to just check out the dead man who's now a picture of the resurrected life. And that's what he's hoping will happen in you. That when he calls you out of the grave and you come to life and you're about to decay and he chose another way, then he's glorified. And people have a tendency to come over and go, hey, I heard you were, man, you were dead. Oh man, I was dead. This part of my life, I was just, it was a mess. I mean, I was so empty. I didn't even know if there was anything there. It was just a mess. And then God began to put all the pieces in place and everything at just the right time. And I grew up and now I've got half this thing done and it looks pretty good. And can I show you what God's working on in my life now? When? In? And people are going to go, wow, it's pretty cool. Tonight, I don't know if you want to work on your puzzle, but I know that tomorrow morning, he's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to say, hey, come here. Want to work on the puzzle with me for a little while? And morning by morning, day by day, month by month, he'll give you a few more puzzles, pieces that you didn't even know where they fit. And you go, got one. I didn't even know that was in the box. Did you find that on your own, Lord? It was always there. And it goes right here? Thank you very much. Oh, look, now that you put that there, I can see where these other three go. Thank you very much. Wait a minute, now that I see where these other three go, this whole corner is done. God, this is really great. I love doing puzzles with you. Have you not yet opened your box? Have you not begun to put together the first piece? That's why you're here tonight. You see, when the whole thing is done and it screams, oh, happy day, you're going to look back at the past and say, oh, man, my life was a wreck. Slowly but surely, God helped me put things together and wow. And that's my prayer. Tragedy? No. Opportunity for us to put together what seems so undone. Will you pray? We give you thanks, Lord, this night for the chance to be reminded of your good, pleasing, and perfect will. We would ask that there would be in all of us more hope, more trust, and more faith. And if through this evening's study we've been reminded of that fact, we've heard your voice, God. Let us not be like Thomas, ready to die, or Martha wondering why, or Mary just continuing to cry. But instead, God, let us, even this night, rise to the occasion, trusting, hoping, loving, believing, grasping, holding, to continue to walk and work with you as we put the pieces of life together. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? If you're still trying to put it together, we're here for you. And it's kind of a funny thing, and that some of us who have been working with puzzles for a long time, we know a few of those pieces. And now God uses us as puzzle putter togethers. We'll come to somebody else and say, hey, you know what? I know that piece. Or you know what? I know where that piece fits. Or you know what? But I can help you with that piece. And that's why we're here. So tonight, as Pastor Clay closes this in song, I'm going to ask the prayer counselors to come on up. And guys and gals, if you'll make yourself available. If you're here tonight and you need prayer and you want to spend a few moments with somebody and say, will you pray with me and pray for me? We want to be here for you for that. He likes you and he loves you. And when you know that deep in your heart, you have a readiness and a willingness to come to him, to approach him and to say, hey, Lord, I know you like me and I know you love me. So can we work on this together? And that's why you're here. So please, as we bring this to a close, if there's a need in your life, come to him. Say, Lord, I need some help with my puzzle. And he'd be more than willing to help you, and we'll be there to assist as well. Pastor Clay, if you'll close us in song. If you have a need, you can come forward now. Don't have to wait to the... song to end.
I sing praises to your name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name.
I'll see you this weekend. Have a great week.